What's up, everybody? Feel me? Tuned in. We Two Peas. DJ Chill Status. Lit Liar. 420 in this thing, man. What's going on, Chill Status?
You know how I do it, chilling. You know, getting ready for this good episode here. You know, we ain't did one in a minute, but we back.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to, a lot of people, you know, I talk something about like the artist side. I hint at the activism side, man. Today we're going to go a little bit deeper into the activism, cannabis culture in California, cannabis, because, you know, you have publicly traded companies that are on the stock market that are invested in cannabis now. And the lifestyle of cannabis that we all created here, maybe in the Bay Area, is like a testing ground, I guess, for the legalization of cannabis. Now that I look back on it, you know, it was a grand experiment to see if it worked. You know, we'll get deeper into that. You know, so yeah, man. Any questions you got about the cannabis industry, man? We're gonna start off with any questions that you might have. You know, anything that DJ Chill Status want to know, man, that I might can lend a thought or two on.
I don't know. Kind of growing up, I never wasn't really tripping off like growing it or anything like that. You know, I may intake, you know, a little bit.
Right.
But, I kind of learned. Only thing I don't know about it is just the growing process.
Okay.
And, I mean, you know, I've, you know, threw a seed in a pot before and see what happened. And,
right.
You know, it kind of blossomed a little bit, but it didn't get to the full blossom. But I seen what it did. And I didn't put any, what is that? The stuff that, you know, people put in, the treatment and this and that and
You didn't boost it.
I didn't do that. It was just natural water and sun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Well, you know, yeah, definitely, man. We could, you know, I definitely have friends that grew, you know, back in the day. And, you know, in the first early days of, like, cannabis clubs, man, I definitely seen, like, certain things that make a cannabis club successful and certain things that make a cannabis club fail, you know. And, you know, we'll just start with, like, one of the things is you definitely have to listen to the people that you're working with that are also in the culture and are also out there experiencing things and and are very knowledgeable about things. You know, you got to listen to these people because, you know, people get like the half of the hookup. You know, they'll get half of the knowledge when you could be getting the whole thing and, you know, probably progressing your business. And i.e., you know, you look back on it, I had a song called I Can Make You Famous Like Amos Without the Cookies. When you plays on my team, you starts off as a rookie, right? And so, you know, I'm pushing my CDs through this one cannabis club. And, you know, growers are like, man, we on that cookie song. Everybody like that cookie song, you know? And then the next thing I know, they got like a weed called Cookies, right? It's a strain called Cookies, you feel me? I was like around these certain growers, man, and you know, think good things spread, you feel me? And you know, it was pretty interesting. And then like now they got a strain, the Larry OG, you feel me? And that's because there's a lot of, you know, it's always probably a Larry and something behind the scenes on something making some move, you feel me? And straight up though, but yeah, man, so there's a few OGs named Larry in the game, man, and everybody's doing their thing, you feel me? And, you know, attached to Mary Jane. So, you know, that's how that go, man. That's like some of the stories on that. A lot of people like, oh, it's ocean grown, it's this and that. I mean, there was some OGs that was moving that OG Kush, you feel me? And that's how it really happened. You get what I'm saying? So people's stamp was getting put on it. You feel me? You know what I'm talking about? They like, man, he brought the OG Kush, so that's Larry OG. You get what I'm saying? That's Larry OG Kush. You see what I'm saying? You know, you go on the internet now, I might say, oh, that's ocean grown and this and that. Because, you know, everybody wants to lay their claim to something. But, you know, I was deep in the game. You feel me? Straight up. So, you know, just activism. You feel me? Just making sure that, like, AIDS patients, cancer patients could, you know, have safe access to their medicinal needs. You feel me? And, you know, just helping being, like, one of the frontline soldiers and on the movement, you know what I mean? And taking heat for the people, you know what I'm saying? Not always necessarily just for myself, but taking, you know, heat for the people, you know, riding it out. And so, yeah, so one of the things, you know, like I remember when one of the place I was volunteering with, doing some activism work with, they were like, they were closing down and they were short on cash and they had chose to grow like all these exotic herbs that weren't necessarily top of the line herbs. They were doing a lot of, I guess, experimenting, you know, having fun. And they told me they wish they would have grew purple. They could have been growing granddaddy purple. They were able to grow their own herbs and stuff, and they chose to like not grow the purple, you know, grow what was high demand, like grow some good granddaddy. They had plenty of opportunity, you know, and, or to grow some good, you know, sour diesel or some just good strong strains. They could have grew some OG Kush, you feel me, some of that Larry OG, you know. They could have grew some of them cookies, you feel me. But they chose to just experiment with some strains that I was like, that's not really it. Ain't nobody smoking that. You feel me? And like, you know, at the end of their run, they were telling me like, Larry, we should have listened to you. We should have grew some of that purple, bro. I was tripping. Like, I had a whole room and you know, certain number of lights and this, that, and the third. And I could have grew purple, bro. I should have listened to you. You feel me? Because basically, they just grew some non-potent strains. You know what I mean? Some what we might call, you know, some low grade, mid grades, or whatever, you know what I mean? Which people need that too, right? But there wasn't a high demand for that. Like the purple at the time, that those particular strains at the time were definitely from like the jungles. They were real exotic. There was more than one purple strain, you know what I mean? You had some real like dark black purple and you know, blueberry purple and candy granddaddy. It was like a lot of different flavors, just based on the way people growing it and stuff, and the way the plant naturally, you know, it's not the same. You know, no two people are the same. Even twins has differences. So, you know, it's like when it goes down, they was like, man, we should have grew it, you know, because it was a high demand. You know what I mean? Could have been. That's all you could have grew, you know, but, you know, things happen, man. People, you know, in 2020 is hindsight. You feel me? Look in the past and you see it perfectly. Like, oh, okay, I should have done these things, you know. So it's definitely, man, it's definitely interesting, you know. It's like, and then when I've been an activism volunteer with different activists and activist networks and things. And, you know, just seeing the ends and where the whole cannabis business has grown to is very interesting, because it was a time where, you know, you didn't advertise anything on the internet. Now it's like it's advertised on the internet. And so it's pretty interesting that all of this is on the internet. You know what I mean? You can go on and click a few buttons and it's recreational. You know, I can remember, you know, little youngsters sitting in county jail for getting caught with like a few bags of herb, you know, where it was other people. If you had a letter, you can have up to 3 pounds of herb and have no issue. So it reminded me of just how this country works, how the laws in this country work. I equated it. I used to joke, and some friends of mine, we all used to joke, it was equal to having slavery freedom papers in times of slavery. You know, you had to have papers to say that you were free or else you could be put in slavery and bondage, human bondage, you know, human trafficking. You know what I'm saying? How they promote human trafficking right now. Yeah, you are human trafficked. And it was the same thing, like, oh, okay. If you don't have your herb papers and then, you know, weren't able to go afford to see that doctor, but you still may need your herb, you were humanly trafficked into a jail cell, you know, into a system. You now have a PFN number and you now have to deal with the repercussions of being incarcerated and being away from your family, not being able to work or have a job, now having this record on your job and have to explain to employers what happened. And so, you know, it's definitely great to see that it's come this far to where it's recreational. Anybody that's 21 and over can walk into a dispensary and get some herb and with their ID card, you know, and this is not just in California now. So it's a beautiful thing that you don't need your freedom papers to freely medicate, you know, or freely recreationalize, whatever your purpose is for, your choice and the way you use it, you know. And I think with the recreational thing, a lot of people are still patients. They just didn't want to pay to see that doctor every year. Like, they like, I have the same issues, you know. Some of these issues aren't going away. They haven't went away in 10-20 years, so, you know, people are like, hey, I don't really want to see the doctor. I know what's wrong with me. I'm going to continue to medicate. I'm going to continue to use herb. And so it's definitely great, since humans have used herb since the beginning of time. You know, there's books and history documented of the protections of herbs and the use of herbs and plants to heal people, whether it's pain relief or you know, mental relief. There's definitely all types of herbs that have helped people, all plants that are here on the earth, you know, that are here for everybody, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of these herbs become unavailable because you have pharmaceutical companies that buy up these herbs and, you know, they buy the fields. They get a patent on it. Nobody else can grow it. Only their farmers can grow it. They basically control what was given to all humans, all mankind, all womankind, for, you know, for everybody. And these things have been, I guess, as part of the capitalistic market. If you could find a field of something that could help humanity, rather than make sure you help humanity with it, no, you buy it up for yourself and you sell it to everybody, you know. And that's what's wrong with the world right now, you know, in this capitalistic society. But it is the world that we live in, the world that we exist in. And so, you know, if you can't, there's a system that were in place before we all were ever born. And so all you could do is, you know, make sure that you make steps in a positive direction for the future, you know. And I think, like, seeing my work and my cannabis activism go from the point to where it is now, and it's legal for people, and it's creating the economy and created jobs for people and created stock investment opportunities for people and business opportunities for people, I think it's a beautiful thing. You know, it lets me know none of my work or time was really spent in vain, you know, despite the things that I've gone through, you know, especially, you know, when you're in the cannabis industry, you're involved in activism. Activism oftentimes is not the most popular thing. You know, it's not how everybody is choosing to move. They're like, nah, I can't really move like that. I got this over here. I got this going on, so I can't do what you do. But do what you do, you know, not the people support you in what you do, you know, because you are doing something that they're not able to do. It's like watching a basketball game. Hey, I can't dunk like LeBron James. I can't shoot the three like Curry, you feel me? But, you know what I'm saying? I watch LeBron dunk. I watch the dunkers dunk, you know what I'm saying? Me, I'm going to just shoot my three, you feel me? So that's how it go, you know what I'm saying? Just observing everything and just reflecting on life and looking back at some of the things that I've been through, you know, and went through. There's a lot of people there too, you know. I wasn't the only one. There was definitely core groups of people that are definitely activists right along with me, you know, pushing the envelope, doing something new that has never been done before, exploring new territories of industrial labor. And you know, what that even look like? What does working at a cannabis club even look like? Like, that was, it was all new, you know. Does it look like McDonald's? Does it look like, you know? And everybody had their own different things, you know, their different setups, you know. I can remember one place, you know, being we worked behind check cashing style, you know. And the check cashing style, now that was fun, because, you know, that it was straight to the point, you know. It was it was real solid, man. Shout out to the Yay Boys, man. You know, and everybody, Elite Majors, right on me, you feel me? ACL, DJ Rax, you feel me? J Diggs, you feel me? Rest in peace, Jack, you feel me? Yeah, man, it was real on, man. You know what I'm saying? Gorilla Pits. What's up, Gorilla Pits? You know, yeah, it was a lot going, a lot of good things going on. You know what I'm saying? People doing music, people exploring these new territories, creating the standards, or what would be the standards. You know, a lot of things we did back in the day have now become standards throughout the whole cannabis industry. And when I say the whole cannabis industry, I'm talking from state to state. You know, it's the childproof bags, the, you know, the vacuum seal, the heat seal bags, you know, making sure this is childproof. It's not easy, you know. A lot of things, yeah, we definitely did were definitely became the standard from back in the day. And it was just quite interesting to be a part of that, you know. And I thank everyone that let me be a part of those times, you know. Those definitely fun times, learning times, interesting times, not always fun, you know what I'm saying. So a lot of real serious situations went on just to get to this level, to where millions of people can enjoy herb freely. You know, you don't have to go to alcohol, which we know alcohol has destroyed a lot of lives out there. Let's just keep it real, you know. People have a fear of smoking cannabis because of losing their jobs, you know. And it's a fear that, you know, people can kind of ease up on a little bit. You know, I understand you still have to, you have certain positions. You got to, you know, be discreet with what you do. And I'm with that. Be discreet, you know. It's not about, you know, it's what you do. You know, at the same time, it's about freedom, you know. Can I freely walk down the street and be myself? Or am I restricted to not be free and have all these rules that I must follow because I am not free? So, you know, it gets into the question of freedom. And then that's how I always, excuse me, looked at my activism side. I always looked at it as, wow, this is a fight for freedom. I.e., go back to my, you know, mention of slavery papers and freedom papers, you know, how you needed papers to be free. And so, yeah, it was bigger for me. It was like, wow, if we can get this done, if we can get this changed as people, what else can we do if we come and unite under a common cause? Because we all live in the United States, but we don't live under common laws. Like, the laws in California are different from the laws in Texas, and are different from the laws in Nevada, and are different from the laws in Washington, and are different from the laws in Oregon, and are different from the laws in Washington, D.C., and are different from the laws in Mississippi, and are different from the laws in Virginia, are different from the laws in Georgia, are different from the laws in Florida. And so, as you realize that the United States has different laws, it's like, oh, wow, I was born in this state. I didn't realize I could be living a whole nother way in a whole nother state. You know, they have open and carry some states, you know, where it's no problem if you have your, you know, your protection on them, your life protector. Let's not call it a gun, right? You're just protecting life. So if I got my life protector on me, I can't have it in this state. And this state is more violent than this other state. So is this a trap for me to get killed? You know, when in this other state, they believe in your rights. And on this other state right here, they don't, it's not your rights. So You know, you have the United States of America that is not united because of different laws, how the different jurisdictions treat different things. You know, and I guess everybody has their right to their jurisdiction and what they do. But then it makes it sells a myth almost to different countries when we tell them you need to implement this type of system, and the United States is not united based on this judicial system. And the judicial system is one of our executive branches of government, which governs the land. And we don't have equality in our judicial system. If I smoke a joint and something like that in like Mississippi, I'll do, you know, it's different penalties than if you're in Colorado or something like that. You know what I'm saying, Chill Status? So,
yeah, totally agree.
You know, it's That was always like the fight for me. So I am glad to see that it's being accepted slowly, medicinally, in certain places. And certain other states have went recreational even before California. And I think it's always been accepted medicinally by the government. Like if you had cancer, you can get a get that pill. You know what I'm saying, the Weedanol pill or Marinol. You know, shout out Savinol. You know, it's Larinol. You feel me? But definitely think that it's a push in the right direction for freedom. I know oftentimes with laws, they write laws on top of laws to take away your freedoms. And I'm hoping that, the movement stays progressive. And when I say the movement, it's not just the cannabis movement. Like I said, for me, it's a freedom movement, the freedom of people to live. You know, we all know they have cameras everywhere, cell phones are used as microphones, those cameras are turned on without your knowledge and things of that nature. And so just the freedom for people to live how they would like to live, you know, as long as it's not harming anyone else, you know, it should be all good, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, you know, when it comes to the whole cannabis thing, I think it's an old thing. It's like all tribes across the whole planet Earth have used cannabis at some point in time, whether in ceremonies, for healing purposes, for all type of purposes. You know, humans have used plants. And I think there's been a war on tribalism. And when I say tribalism, I'm not talking about some savage cannibalism type things. I'm talking about as far as just people being able to use plants of the earth, being able to use nature to heal themselves without having to go to a major hospital or doctor that is capitalizing on the fact that people can't heal themselves. You know, so they're capitalizing, building a building, got a place for you to go, for you to spend your money, for you to spend your health insurance. There's a whole system created because they've taken away the ability for people to self-medicate. And when you take away the ability for people to self-medicate, people turn to buy whatever means necessary because it's the human nature to survive. So, you know, they're going to go to turn to whatever drugs are available to them cheaper because it's a self-medication process. And so if we allow people to really use the plants the way it was meant to be, and not that it be capitalized on by the people, but actually given to the people, I think society as a whole would be in a greater direction as far as like just moving forward and recreating society so that we can all coexist, you know. But there are those factions in society that, you know, they have another opinion, right? Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and they're like, there's too many people on the earth. So we need to, you know, kill some people off. We need to make sure people starve off. We need to make sure people don't have food, clothing, and shelter. We need to raise the prices so they can't afford to live in certain areas anymore, you know? And so that's what's going on. You know, you have these two agendas and they're like fighting against each other. And I guess it is like the kind of how we've always been shown as kids in cartoons and movies. It's like the light versus the dark, right? The people with the wicked agenda and the people with the good agenda. I mean, it's really that simple. And then when you call a cat a cat, or you know what I'm saying, you call it, it's like or a dog, it's like people get offended by that now. You know, people have racist views, and then they say, oh, you're racist. Oh, I'm not racist, it's just my opinion. Well, your opinion is in line with racist views that have existed and been propaganded since, you know, since before my time, you know. And so I think for the most part, people do coexist here in America, you know. But you just have those few men that don't want that to happen. They don't want no coexistence of people. They don't want any people to be able to survive off the land. So they let the land be polluted in the name of cash. You know, just think about one of the greatest pollution ever, cars, right? When they built the roads, they said the roads of California have been overpopulated since the 1970s. The freeways have been like a congestion problem. Here we are in the year 2018, and they're taking streets and turn them into one-lane streets when there's more cars on the roads in California than ever. Like, so that's the constant thing, what's wrong with America, what's wrong with why people are frustrated, how they create frustration, how you have these people with these agendas. And these are people with money, and because they're changing the roads, right? And it's just ridiculous right now. They're creating more traffic backups than ever, you know, creating more breathing problems for the inhabitants that live there, right? This is how you push out, get rid of the poor people, right? If they still making money and got jobs and barely could afford to live there, they're living there. But now you're creating more traffic jams by purposely designing the city to limit the flow of traffic, when there are millions of people and hundreds of thousands of people in one area. You want to limit the flow. You want to limit the way they can move. Like, this is just what's been going on. It's a crying shame, you know. It's like, yeah, that's not making America great again. You know, you can tell me that they're trying to expand freeway lanes, but on the streets you're going to make less lanes. Like, they're doing this all over the city of Oakland, California. It is a shame. It's the city I was born in, you know. I hate to see that. You know, it's ridiculous, you know, and they're just creating more traffic jams, and they're doing this in like a lot of, I would say, poorer areas, right? And it's causing humongous, terrible, terrible traffic backups and jams. And so, you know, the designers of this, they'll get rich, because then look how much money they make. They created the problem. Now, if people start complaining and be like, oh, you guys have messed up the streets, if we all are one voice, then they get paid again for fixing the problem that they created. Right? So it's been going on since the beginning of time, and it's a shame that's what happens to happen for money, right? They were saying the San Jose Fire Department, they just got an extra $40 million or $400 million, right? Like, wow, after all these fires mysteriously start, huh? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you got all these things, man. I'm not saying that the fire departments don't need money, right? I mean, everything should be funded anyway. Why should the fire department need money if we the richest country in the world? But somehow they need money. The police need a donation. Army veterans need a donation. I see army vets on the streets. Like, there shouldn't be no army vets on the streets. If I serve and let you experiment on me, and you experiment on everybody anyway, whether it's in the army or in the streets, I mean, you should be given food, clothing, and shelter, you know, right? For this grand experiment, because we all part of one big old grand experiment from state to state, you know? That's what's going on. Because if the laws are different from state to state as I'm driving, right, then there's no equality. That's not freedom, you know? That is restriction. You know, that is, watch how you walk on over here, you know? Watch, you know, straight up. So there's still places in America that if minorities can't go, you feel me, is that black people want, you might go back to them deep woods and might not come back, you know what I'm saying? And you know, that's real, you feel me? People don't understand that, you know. People don't understand that at all. They're like, man, why are these people in this one area? Because these other areas ain't cool, you feel me? You go to these other areas, it's something different, you know what I'm saying? And now, I'm not trying to say everybody ain't racist, man. There's a lot of good people from all type of races. You feel me? It's just always a few bad apples. You know, that spoil the bunch. Spoil it for the bunch, they say. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you know, when it comes to the cannabis industry, that's what I see, the united of it. Like, it unites all type of people from all walks of life from various generations. And it makes me realize definitely how important it is for society to progress, just to not take away the things that were given to mankind. Like, spread those things, you know. Moderation is good. Make sure everybody got food, clothing, and shelter. You know, I think if we could get this one thing accomplished, what else can we accomplish? If we could grow cannabis, we could grow food. You know, so that's let's think about that. People grow, they set up little grows and stuff, little grow tents, right? Well, then you could be growing your own food in a little grow tent. You know what I mean? And so, you know, we need to figure out ways to make it affordable. You know, whether it's solar, you know, I think solar probably is like the new way to go. Just use the energy that's already there. We were already given energy. Why, you know what I mean, not use the free energy that's just floating in the air, right? You set up some solar panels, the sun gonna shine, it'll soak it up like the plants. You know, it might be some other type of things we don't know about that yet that might be, you know, toxic too, you feel me? Because oftentimes with new technologies, we find they're not perfect, you know. All the plastic in the oceans and everything is just rolling, you know. And we think about that too, like with the cannabis industry, you know, they have all these new packaging requirements and a lot of plastic, you know, a lot of plastic. And definitely got to figure out a way to change that, because you have so much cancer in society, and so many people get all types of forms of cancer. And it's definitely, you know, things are cancerous. You know, we create things that are cancerous and we spread them all over the earth. And these things have been spread in the name of profit, in the name of cash, in the name of the quick fix, the name of the, I could have this real quick and then just toss this, throw this away, you know. And so it creates a huger problem globally with that type of attitude when it is done by corporations and done by people with millions of dollars. Well, you're like, if this is the way the rich act, then I should act like this too. You know, they obviously don't care, because they created something that is toxic, and they create millions of plastic items are created every year. You know, the water bottle I drink out of is plastic. You know, how many water bottles are made every year, you know? And then discarded, thrown away, put into the universe. You know, we definitely gotta, like, as a society, change these things. You know, I'm not saying go and take away the corporations' money, but these corporations need to find new ways of doing things, or else we need to create new corporations that have a new way of doing things. And when these new corporations and new technologies come around, they need not be sabotaged, you know, by the people that don't care if it's just affecting some island down in the Pacific Ocean that we never go to because it's inhabited by a few people. But it's polluting islands, it's polluting oceans, polluting fish, polluting the whole food chain supply, to where, you know, I'm hearing people talk about in 10 years, you know, the food might all be cancer. So everybody might gonna be smoking weed in 10 years because everything is gonna be so cancerous. It's not cool. So we definitely need to just, you know, as we tackle one problem in society and, you know, change things, we need to also focus on these other things, you know, like replant trees to help balance out some of the carbons from the cars and hairsprays and all that. Like, it's a lot of things that are connected to this cannabis when I think about it. And so a lot of movements. And, you know, it's to fight cancer, to fight all diseases, you know what I mean? And especially, like, you know, I spoke with someone, they say, like, cannabis helps autism and kids with autism, which is serious, you know, because a lot of traditional prescribed drugs from these pharmaceutical companies don't work for people with autism. But a little natural cannabis herb plant works well. So, you take a natural plant out of people's diets that might have been in their tribes' diets for thousands of years until they were put up under some government that took away their tribal right to use these herbs. So, you know, I just think that's, you know, people need to focus on that, man, and just really, really focus on that and think about it, look at it. Get back to that, you know, get back to the ancient ways, get back to the tribal ways, let people have their plants and herbs, you know, and just that's the beautiful thing. Let people self-medicate. That'll cut down on healthcare costs. They say healthcare costs is a big thing in Congress, you know, so how do you help cut down on healthcare costs? Let people self-medicate. You know what I mean? Because if you don't use that medicine, that's cool. Maybe your tribe didn't use that medicine to heal. You can heal yourself in other ways. But some people, a lot of tribes, those are the ways they used, you know, and it's connected to people. Cannabinoid receptors and things are in people's DNA. You know, if your tribe always had the cola plant to heal or always had the poppy plant to heal, then that's what your tribe had. You know what I mean? And humans have always used what was ever around them. They've eaten the animals around them. They've eaten the plants around them, you know. And it's just so much of that is taken away. And then we like, why do we have poverty? Why we have homelessness? Why we have people can't feed themselves? Because you took away the natural way for people to feed themselves. You know, you killed all the buffalo. Buffalo Bill, huh? He said, go kill all the buffalo. Well, now people starving. Even some of your people starving. Like, you know what I'm saying? In the name of land grabs and stealing land from the Native Americans and indigenous people. So, you know, it's all connected. You know, a lot of times, that's what they say a lot of the border wars were about. They didn't want, let's say, herb was coming from Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Some of that good Mexican brown weed. You know, they say for sure they don't grow that in California. That come from Mexico. So, you know, but it's all connected, right? You could, before they put a fence up and walls up, you could just walk across back and forth what people been doing for thousands of years. You know what I mean? Hey, man, we got this down here. We'll bring this up here to y'all. You know, y'all give us something to go back with. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's a lot of people wonder, like, why are you involved in this? It's like, man, I really believe in this. You know, this in my heart. You know what I mean? It's in my spirit. It's in my DNA, you know, to, you know, just help push the envelope in society, you know, help change society for the better, you know. Like I say, we do need to tackle the housing problem, you know. I believe if you're an American citizen, that need to come with some rights, right? Other than I'm just born into this and I need to start slaving and getting a job. You feel me? It's like, I need to, if I'm an American, I should be given the right of food, clothing, and shelter. Because y'all for sure in different countries killing in my name, using American soldiers to kill people and, you know, and chase people down and do whatever operations y'all doing militarily. So I need to have more rights. You get what I'm saying? We just got civil rights, right? Black people just got certain rights. Women just got certain rights not too long ago. But me as an American citizen, you know what I'm saying? If you're a citizen of any country, I deserve food, clothing, and shelter. And if I've been here since birth, if I'm paying taxes, right? You know what I'm saying? If I'm getting taxed, I'm paying taxes every time I buy something. Every time I buy something from a store, I'm going to have to buy something from the store because that's the way the system set up, right? I'm getting taxed. So the fact I'm getting taxed right there, I'm paying into the government. If I'm paying into the government need to have it set up to where they're making so much money, they giving me food, clothing, and shelter. You know what I'm saying? And make sure food, clothing, and shelter is given to the people that been here first. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to anybody just coming into the country. But if I've been in America and I've been paying taxes and paying money into your system so you could fight wars and people could go get their daughters and sons killed at a young age because you recruit the young kids into the army who don't know nothing about life and ain't got no proper direction. Or that's just what they want to do. You feel me? That's in their heart. So it's like, yeah, that need to come with food, clothing, and shelter, and a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, hook me up. You know what I'm saying? Like, getting a job in America, for the whole world listening, getting a job in America is like trying to win the lotto, right? You fill out some papers and be like, pick me. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, yeah, just let that be a message to anybody that, you know what I mean? Laughing at the, like, oh, I see black people on cops all the time when I see America, or you have these stereotypes of black people in America, man. Trying to get a job in America is like trying to win the lottery. You feel me? And then you might not get the lotto. You might not hit the number that you want. You feel me? You might be shooting for that 100,000 and wind up with that below that poverty line number. You feel me? So, you know, that's how it go. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's a respect to the hustlers in America, respect to the person that, you know what I'm saying, that's putting that extra in the end so they could, you know, get something out of life, get a little more out of life, you feel me? Because they all got it set up to where it's only a certain amount of money that's let into society, right, by the banks and things like that. And even the banks, they only going to loan it to you. They're just not giving it out. So, boom, it's only a certain amount of money put out there, and it's a certain amount of people out there. And they know people are going to do whatever they got to do. They're going to fight for it. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? It's like a purge. You feel me? It's the money purge. Oh, that might be the new song, chill. The money purge.
Yeah.
Hey, the money purge. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the money purge. You feel me? Look, we got how many people live in California? It's 100 million people live in California. We only going to give California $100 million. So you feel me? So now you might not get a dollar. You feel me? And that's what goes on. You got people that they don't never get a dollar. You get what I'm saying? Out of that 100 million that's been put down. And so, you know, it's the money purge. You feel me? That's the way you population control. You know, one form of population control. Because there's many forms of population control through poisoning the water, poisoning the air people breathe, causing pollution by taking two-lane streets and turning them into one when there's more cars on the road in the history of California than ever. More cars were sold, you know what I mean? And there are more electric cars on the road, but there's a lot of gas, you know? There's a lot of gas. So, yeah, you know, you need oil, you know? That's why they be going to war. Keep that oil coming, keep that gas coming. So keep them numbers the way they need to keep them numbers and stuff like that, man. Keep the people who they need to run it. The cannabis, that's where it's all connected to for me, chill status, you know what I'm saying? It's like the activism. So, you know, just some of the things, I know I said a lot, you know, here tonight, that, you know, it's there's a cannabis activism, man, just how to not fail, just if you start a business and into it, listen to the people around you, you know, they might have some valuable insight, you know. They might have a better feel on the business than you do if you are the one running it and they are an employee of yours or they're a volunteer, you're someone you're working with, a consultant, things like that. Like when you consult with consultants, people that have extensive knowledge and experience, really value what they saying because you might could be triple up your money. You know what I mean? I've seen certain things in certain ways and certain business flows and ebbs to, you know, there's good things, man, in the activism thing, and especially now that it's pretty much on the legal thing. I think there's still work to be done as far as recognized through more different jurisdictions and through the judiciary system at different levels, because there's different levels of the judiciary system. So I think like, yeah, once those things happen, you know, it'll be a beautiful thing, you know, but I definitely, like I say, it's about freedom and, you know, what's the agenda here? Is the agenda population control and don't get caught up in it? Because they need to just say that then, right? You look, don't get caught up in the population control agenda. You know,
no, I definitely don't want to do that.
Warn the kids, right? I mean,
yeah, let them know early.
Yeah, let them know early, right? I mean, that's what I mean. Look, if that was a class in high school, right? Look, don't get caught up in the population control agenda. You know, make sure you don't get caught up. These are the traps. These are the warning signs. You know, these are the hard economic times. You know, I remember, I think it was George Bush. George Bush was like, man, start saving $20 a month. You feel me? For the next 20 years or something like that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, he got it. That's a nice little stack. You know what I'm saying? If you save $20 a month for 20 years. Huh? So, you know, you got to listen to what people say from, you know, sift through what people say too. You know, different things apply at different times. Nas, shout out Nas, he had that song about fake news, right? Remember Nas had that fake news song?
Yeah.
And then Donald Trump talking about fake news. And then we discover it really is fake news. You know what I'm saying? What's real? You know what I'm saying? And it's always been questionable. So the fact that Nas and Donald Trump agreed on fake news is historic to me. But nobody's talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to shine light on that. We just want to shine light on people's, you know, uniqueness. Because everybody's unique in what they do and how they talk and how they do their thing. So it's quite interesting. And they say all the presidents tell a little bit of truth. You just got to catch what they say, listen to what they say. You know what I mean? Sift through it. See the diamonds in the rough. You know, I'm all about the diamonds in the rough. You know what I'm saying? I believe some of the best music is made through the struggle. It's made in the struggle. It's made when you're going through things. You know what I mean? You know, a lot of people like Kanye West record. You know, they say he on some depressed stuff, but it's hot, you know, to some people. You feel me? I mean, me personally, it's some good music. I listened to it a few times. It was cool. It's not something that's in my ride right now, though. What I'm in my ride right now on my deck, I'm on that Money Man, Lil Baby, you feel me? Lil Blood. Filthy Rich, shout out Filthy Rich, man, and the Fast Money Boys. Hey, Filthy Rich and the Fast Money Boys, they got some heat. Jay Stylin staying, I got Jay Stylin on the deck. Young Roker, you feel me? I got Young Roker in the deck. Yeah, Fettuccine Feasting. Who else, man? Track Layer, I got Track Layer on deck. Track, aka Track on the Beat. I'm saying, and who else I got on deck right now, man? Man, I've been listening to, I got some DJ Chill Status mixes on deck. You feel me? Straight up, man. So, yeah, I've just been, you know, I'm just vibing out right now to all the music. You know what I'm saying? Lil Indian on deck. Knock, NLC on deck. Shout out Five Finger Mafia. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, just the music, man. That's some of the music I've been just vibing to right now, riding to. And yeah, man, and everybody smoke weed. You feel me? All the artists, you know what I'm saying? I put out a couple compilations for this No Longer Existence Cannabis Growers Collective, 40 Acres. I put out a couple compilations for them, and yeah, man, there's artists that just support the movement of legalization, decriminalization, and the idea of recreational, you know. So, yeah, it's just the third installment. And, you know, now I'm pushing for, like, what's the next cause? You know what I'm saying? The peace on earth, you feel me? That's always a theme of mine. Like, you know, everybody need peace, you know what I'm saying? They peace of the pie, they peace on earth. You know, the peace where they drive, a peace where the police don't harass when I drive, you know. But, you know, it's like I'm just pushing now for, like, food, clothing, and shelter for everybody. Like, provide a way, provide space, provide land. Like, let's really be civilized, you feel me? I want to be, say, I was part of the society and part of the times that ended homelessness. You know what I'm saying? I was part of the times that we dinner ended a need for, like, money. Everybody was giving things. I mean, you still gonna need money, right? But let's end homelessness. Let's end people not having no food. You know what I'm saying? Let's end poverty, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already part of the generation and part of the ones that helped get cannabis legal, right? And recognized internationally that it can help people. And all right, so boom, part of that generation, you know, part of tech generation. So now it's like, yeah, let's be the generation that said we ended racism. You know what I'm saying? Because everybody's about to be given something for you being an American citizen. Like, this is your kickback for being part of this American government, a part of this American corporation, a part of our grand experiment in cities and states with different laws existing for different people. You know, at different times, like, let's give back to that. You know what I'm saying? I want to be a part of that generation, you know, so that way in the future that I know that it shouldn't be no kids that's born in America that's ever starving and go without food. Like, their parents should always have a job, a place to work. You know what I'm saying? They shouldn't be getting a job. Shouldn't be like a lottery pick. It should be jobs that help society as a whole, that everybody should have an opportunity to get, you know what I'm saying, and help people with, you know, tap into people's skill set. and just really just build things up to where it's like a glorious world, a glorious society, something to really be proud of, something that'll really leave a legacy on the world to be like, you know, man, like I say, food, clothing, and shelter for everybody. Like, you in the need for even crime, really, you know. It's always going to be somebody that's on some crime stuff, but, you know, to end it, because you know what, people, everybody got a flat screen TV. Everybody got the new cell phone that just came out, because you need people to test the technology anyway. You want, you know what I mean? You want people to use it. You feel me? So it's like, you know, just get on that hype. You know what I mean? We could be them ones if we figured it out, but I don't know. Some of the things I may be talking about may mess up systems that's been in place and for years. You know what I'm saying? I have to get deeper into that, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what people tell you. They're like, "Ew, well, look, we've been getting money like this for years, bro. We can't stop getting money just because you got your revolutionary ideas and think we should take care of everybody." Like, man, we just going to make sure some people just don't have it, man. Or that's the, you know, we got to make sure we take care of our people first. We can't worry about those people over there. And I think that attitude, you know, on the government level and all that, I don't know. It's like, then what do we need the government for if the government ain't going to take care of the folks? You feel me? Are they just the war wing? Like, we just siphoning money from the people for our wars? It ain't supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be make sure the people good, but these people only making sure they good. You know what I'm saying? They bank account sitting fat. You know what I'm saying? They ain't giving no money up to the people, and then they ain't making sure the people get the money. You know what I'm saying? Or if the people do get the money, that dollar cost them $2 because they had to get in a loan. You feel me? By the time they pay it back, that dollar cost $2, man. So, you know, it's all connected here. You know, the fight for freedom. The fight to just be yourself, to live life.
Yeah, there's a price on everything, man.
Yeah, you feel me? Air costs, you know what I'm saying? The air you breathe costs, the water you cost, you know what I'm saying? So everything costs right now, you feel me? And that's where we as society, you know? And, you know, back in the day, the tribe used to make sure everybody ate, you know what I'm saying? It's a big spread, there, you know what I mean? Now it's like, man, them days is over with, you feel me? I got everybody on some different things right now. It is what it is, the society we live in, so you got to make your way in it. So, you know, if y'all like some of this game I've been giving to y'all, man, go ahead and donate to the cause, you feel me? Throw something in the tip jar, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? That's all good, man, but, you know, if you don't, it's good too, man, because I got to pay myself before I let anybody else pay me, you feel me? Don't you got to pay yourself first, Chill Status?
No. That's all about business, man. Yeah. You got to learn how to pay yourself before you pay others.
That's it. You know what I mean? Straight up. So, yeah, man. I said before, man, I pay homage to all the new generation rappers. You know what I'm saying? All the youngsters. You feel me? All the OGs. You know what I'm saying? But, excuse me. You know, it's time to go take one of them breaks, man. One of them, it's time to go take a 2L's break, you know what I'm saying? I got a bro one up for the left ear and the right ear, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, get up out of here. But, yeah, you know, you start a cannabis business, man. Listen to your people, you know what I'm saying? Somebody tell you grow the best stuff. Grow the best stuff, man. You know, valuable insight, you know. You can make a lot of money. Maybe if you got in it at the beginning, you know, the game has changed right now, you know. So I would say learn about the stock market, you know. And my advice to you people out there, learn about stock market, 401k, stocks, bonds. That's where the game of life is right now. You feel me? If you're going to make any money, you know, sit on some money, let some money, you know, grow. You feel me? Just let us, you're not using it. It's just sitting over there in a little nest egg, they call it. You know, let that little nest egg rest. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you making music, put out hot music. You in the weed game. You in the weed business, man. Stay tapped in. You feel me? Don't tap out. Tap all the way in. You feel me? To where, you know, you... You got a machine running like a fine-tuned machine. You know what I'm saying? Like a good car engine. You feel me? And those are the ones. Those are the businesses that I see succeed. You feel me? The ones that listen to the people. The ones that follow other good examples, too. Because to be a good leader, you also have to be a good follower. You feel me? Shout out Haile Selassie. You feel me? One of his leaderships of principles. Principles of leadership. You feel me? Leaderships of principles, you know? But, straight up. Good leader, got to be a good follower. So if you see a business out there, they doing good business, you might want to follow that example, you know, and then you see where their business is not doing good business, and that's where you make your business better, and that's how you fulfill a niche and fill a need that's not being fulfilled, you know what I mean? And so, that's how that go, you know what I'm saying? Straight up, man. And, if you're in the business, don't be a snob about the pot. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a pot snob. You know what I'm saying? You're not the only person that knows about herb. But you might know more about herb than me, but don't be a snob about it. Like, I know more than you. You don't know anything. I'm just smarter than you're dumb. Like, nah, man. It's a lot of people with that attitude, man. Go with that shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Be a player about it. You feel me? Be a player. You doing something player. You creating history. You feel me? You one of the first ones. So you want people's experience in a cannabis thing to be, you know, as positive of experience you could be. You know, of course, life is going to throw its curveballs at you. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, on that curveball, come on trip. You get what I'm saying? Just get back up the bat for that next pitch. You know what I'm saying? Straight up, you know. And be, you know, you'll be ready for it again, you know what I'm saying? So, that's how it go, you know. You can make your own strain. I guess people's making their own strains. Shout out Larry OG. You feel me? That Larry OG strain, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to the cookies, you feel me? Shout out to people being inspired by my music and letting things grow and, you know what I mean, and just helping me with my mark in history, you know. I was there, and the ones that know I was there. And the ones that know they was inspired by that song, they was inspired by that song, and that's all that count to me. You feel me? I don't need no trophy, no plaque for it, like, oh, he's the creator of this or he's the creator of that. Nah, it's like, you know, this when the Bible was given, to the world. The Quran was given to the world. The Torah was given to the world. I give these words to the world, man. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I put in music, man. Those are my verses, you feel me? I got a lyric say the Bible's written in verses. The rappers writing verses, you feel me? And so it's like, man, we doing biblical things, you feel me? Leaving it here for the future. That's what I'm doing in the music, you know what I'm saying? It's like my time capsule, you know? That's why I have all type of different songs, but a lot of times I'm talking about how I'm living, you know what I mean? So people know how I'm living. I was on that Philly Titan, you know what I'm saying? I was on that Splitterillo, you know what I mean? Straight up, you know what I mean? So y'all enjoy it, you feel me? I hope everybody listening then learn something from some of the things I was saying, how everything is interconnected, you know, the fight for freedom. You got to vote. Hopefully we get rid of daylight saving times in California, because I hate it when the time changes. Like, it's ridiculous, you know. It's a mental thing. But, yeah. What's up, DJ Chill Status, man?
We going right on out with a little selection. As you hear the good beat in the background. So we'll be back next episode. We Two Peas in the Pod. Lil Larry, DJ Chill Status. We out.
Yeah, man. We out, man. We out like yesterday, man. We out like 5 minutes ago, man. We out like 10 seconds that just happened, man.